Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Questions, okay. And so forth. I'd be glad to do that.
This is part of the after show, Merlin.
Yeah.
Now we start the after show.
This is the best part of
it. Now it gets a little bit blue. Yeah.
Well, we had to keep it under CD length.
So, this horse thing. But
how many of you heard the profane version?
Yes. And okay. I would like to clear the air about this. Of course you were. That's the idea. So Catherine the Great walks into a bar.
No, stop it.
And she says, "Why the long face?" That's not even funny.
Oh, I get it. Why the long face?
Why the long face? Because you see, I took it and I brought the horse part of it.
Now playing for Scott Bourne, number 23, Craig Severson, the pod nice. Grunt. Come on in here, Craig.
Are we gonna do Mac Break After Dark?
Yeah. Let's do Mac Break After Dark.
Sweet. Where's my bathrobe? Hello, ladies.
It's Merlin Heff.
Hello.
So, where's the audience question, Mike?
Oh, we got a mic.
Put that out there.
Mic.
Okay. And we can continue to record, although if you want to take a mix down of the headphone and...
We can just keep on recording. It's just going
All right, and we'll just snip it.
Well, I usually just let it roll.
Yeah, but it's too long. It's already an hour and 15 minutes.
Craig, okay. He seems so comfortable with your body. I really respect that.
He looks like one of those beatniks from the 50s. You know, he's going to do a little jazz improvisation.
So what was that you said?
Snare drum bucket, loving woman, come to me through windshield, one
nose. Well, I think the main show
best looking man in podcast.
I'm sorry.
It's already 75 minutes.
Stop recording.
But I will keep recording. Start another. Oh, well, they just keep recording.
See, this is Alex's new plan. Alex's new plan is we record for like 11 hours.
I know. I don't like that plan. It's too long.
Now, I said I was going to shorten it. We got all these comments on the Twit site about people wanting to be longer.
They say that.
I mean, you get a bunch of people who belong to the site. They're going to
When people complain,
we want to keep them complaining more. We want them to come back saying, oh, I want to hear more. Not say, boy, I really got enough Mac Break.
For the love of God.
For the love of God, stop.
These guys have a power button and a volume button. Bring it way down.
Way down. So, questions, ladies and gentlemen. Just step up to the microphone. Anybody who's over there can ask a question, make a comment, make a suggestion.
I'll comment.
Go ahead. Step right up there. Ask a question.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah. What's your name?
Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi, Phil.
I was just listening to Mr. Pogue talk, and I work at a national laboratory east of here. And it just occurred to me that we should subcontract Apple for our own secrecy.
No kidding.
Yeah. This is unbelievable how this whole phone got developed and people were so off the mark. It just blew my mind.
Yeah. Did you just tell me you work at Lawrence Livermore?
Well, in
is that what you just told me?
No.
I'll turn my badge around.
Bring your clearance up. Bring it to me.
I'm disavowed to acknowledge any clearance that I may or may not have.
But let's just put it this way. The government could learn a few things from Apple.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I work in a very high security area,
right.
So
yeah.
To keep that kind of secrecy is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And
for that length of time and with the press continually.
That huge amount of scrutiny and everybody going from 11 different angles, everybody knowing and guessing everything that's going to happen, and you still go,
I bet you that Apple knows where Bin Laden is.
Exactly. I mean, no pun intended, but it was a cell network the way they distributed
it. I bet they're not the only ones. Just saying.
Okay, pun intended.
Just wanted to see what you guys thought. Rumor has it that Steve Jobs may be taking a sabbatical leave of absence. What do you think of that? What do you think might happen to Apple?
I hadn't heard that rumor. Have you guys heard that?
Part of the buzz today was that Steve was one of the reasons people said, and I realize I'm a total lamer for having read all these rumor sites. One of the big rumors was that one reason Steve had invited so many of his friends and family to attend today was that he was going to make some kind of an announcement about his future with Apple.
But he didn't.
But
he's not going to do it now.
John has a thought.
John Foster, what do you think?
So traditionally, with an Apple employee,
every 5 years, they got to take 6 weeks of sabbatical, this paid sabbatical.
Right.
So Steve has been with the company since 99, 2000. So he's overdue by a sabbatical for a couple of years.
Yeah. Maybe he's just going to take a sabbatical. But 6 weeks.
So he'll lose his sabbatical if he doesn't go. And he probably hasn't taken a vacation in a while.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to get in the jet and go around the world and see Bali and see Australia and see...
We can lose him for 6 weeks. No longer.
Done.
No longer.
One way that he could make sure that all of his vacation time gets counted is to change the date when he said he started there.
So, hey, let's get Steve Steklow over here. As long as we're talking about the options scandal, Steve Steklow is a feature writer for the Wall Street Journal, and has been following this options scandal. He's actually been covering the options scandal. What do you think, Steve? Is it over for Apple, or has it just begun in terms of that scandal?
Better question for the Justice Department. Or the
SEC. It's up to them now. They continue the investigation. The Apple internal investigation is concluded, but now the feds get into it.
Right.
No speculation on your part? He's too good a reporter to speculate.
Go ahead, say no comment. Go ahead.
I feel like I'm at the devil at the garden party.
What is the risk? What is, let's say, worst case scenario? Could he go to jail?
Jail?
I guess the worst case scenario is, he would be charged with fraud, but it's unclear. I mean, they've admitted now for the first time that he recommended certain dates that be picked for stock options. They hadn't disclosed.
You know, this so-called clearing of Steve Jobs is not very impressive. I mean, first it says, he recommended some favorable choices, and then actually now he's recommending dates. It sounds like his fingerprints are all over it.
Benefit, which I think there's people who question that.
Did he not get some backdated options?
He did get backdated options. They confirmed that.
Did he exercise them?
They were approved at a board meeting that never took place, and they fabricated documents to show that the board meeting took place.
Wow.
Secondly, they maintain that he was not aware of the accounting implications. That, again, it's really going to be up to prosecutors to decide whether. But, they did conduct an extensive investigation, and the law firm that did it is reputable, and we'll see.
In other firms that have had the same kind of issue.
I was just going to say, there's also the Pixar matter.
Well, what's that all about?
That's also under investigation.
Tell us about that. Was there backdating there as well?
Let's just say that I think in 4 of the 5 years, there were Pixar officers who received stock grants at the lowest price of the year.
Jeez.
But Jobs, I should say, who owned the majority of the company was not one of them. But he was the CEO.
Steve was along with us on the last Mac Mania cruise, and it's great to see you. He is a great writer for the Wall Street Journal. I have to say, I renewed my subscription thanks to you. It's good to see you, Steve.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Questions from the audience?
John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Sumo from Cleoville.
Oh, nice to meet you, Sumo.
I was wondering, will there be like the new iPhone will make like integration with the iTV or like Slingbox?
Well, here's an interesting thing. It all uses iTunes as its core.
It's a home media server.
Right.
I get media like music and
Here's, I think, I'm going to guess, but I think what you would have to do is use the media on your media server as your iTunes library, right? Point iTunes to it, and then all of a sudden, it becomes your iTunes library, and at that point, absolutely, anything that's on that media server, you could stream to the iTunes.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about, one of my recent obsessions, I've talked about this with John, is how we all deal with this kind of growing need for large amounts of backup and network storage. So, to me, one interesting thing is, I mean, the thing in my house, my wife and I would love to have is a shared, easy, shared, automated backup with automated iTunes sharing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to think about how this figures with sharing an iTunes library among several people.
You know, there's .Mac that if you somehow integrate this to like some like big gigabyte or terabyte.
Right. It seems like it's a software solution. Right.
And just where we go.
Right.
Comcast is announcing this somewhere TV to go.
Right.
And it's a great thing because there's all these integrated things that content providers like Hollywood just want to DRM all over your media. And so it's like, we like for consumers want to unlock this stuff.
Well, I mean, that's also the story of CES this week, is all of these home media servers and ways of getting this stuff around. Apple's going to face a lot of competition for the Apple TV. It's not the only one in the market. Craig Severson.
Time Machine will help, though.
What's that?
Time Machine. And
Leopard.
And a Big Raid. It solves a lot of problems. Right. You know, and the storage is getting cheaper, and as people are gathering more and more media, but that's the big issue.
But the issue is, it's not, we don't want to just use the network attached storage as backup. We want to use it as a media server.
Okay, you're talking about streaming.
Yeah, well, streaming, or just have it be a hard drive, or how do we do that?
So if you have a squeeze box, it's now owned by Logitech.
This is the Slim P3.
No, the MP3 player.
Right.
That basically you can control from any web browser. So because the iPhone has a web browser in it, Safari, you can go to 192.168.1.77, and then because it's based on Apache, there can be a patch to this so that it goes, says, oh, you're an iPhone, I'm going to give you this interface, and now I've got the squeeze box interface for my iPhone, the 320/240 thing, and I can go next, list, this playlist, that thing.
Or and use the iPhone as a remote for your Apple TV.
For my MP3 that's on the network anyway. And
I think this is the geek, that thin layer of geekdom, but we're going to have a hell of a lot of fun with this.
Well, but see, this is the thing that's unsaid today, is that because it's running Safari, because it says, and when it announces itself, it says, I'm Safari, I'm running on a PowerPC Mac, or I'm running on an Intel Mac. Right. Well, this thing's going to say, I'm Safari, I'm running on an iPhone. Now, Apache can kick back that interface specific because we can go looking for that. Because of the independence. And so now I can have for the very first time, I've got, as an application developer, I can implement something on an iPhone, on an iPod, which has been a closed. No way in hell are you ever going to have anything to, you know, your own application.
Very
here.
Interesting. Very
and so
interesting.
It's open to me to go do this. Right. And all I have to do is a couple of Apache hacks, a couple of HT access things, and I've got my application on an iPhone.
Right.
Is the iPhone Java enabled? Do we
well, it would have to be if it's got Safari, full Safari.
Right?
Safari
so if it's Safari, it's KHTML, which means that it has JavaScript, which means that it's WebKit, which means that it's Flash.
Flash.
Right? It's running some form of Flash.
It's got to.
It has to.
Right.
Right? If it doesn't run Flash, then it's not anything that we can use.
Right.
So it's just the coolest, little, tiniest iMac that's ever been made.
Right.
Now, the interesting thing is, I don't mean to hijack this thing, but check this out.
Geek it out.
320x240 is the screen size, but how cool would it have been if it would have been 512x342, the same size as a Mac 128 when that came out.
Then we could run Mac right.
Right.
Yes.
But
right now.
I want right now. Back.
But the thing that is that, so, you know, we look back 27 years ago with a Mac 128. Here's the thing that's this big, essentially. Right. And we can put applications on it. It will definitely transform media.
I think one of the big questions about the iPhone is how far we're going to be able to develop for it.
But I think what John's saying is interesting. Because it has Safari, it does open a door to this.
Right, and because...
At least to web applications.
To web applications. So here's the other thing. I went and looked through developer.apple.com today. Not a single shred of evidence that me as a developer will be able to make an application for the iPhone. Right.
Which I think is nuts.
I think it's...
Well, we don't know. WWDC is coming up. They might announce something.
Sure. The other thing is that we were going to... This would be my pick of the week.
We didn't do it.
If you were doing pick of the week.
John always keeps us on.
So pick of the week is that Dashboard Developer Tool got released as a beta. So this is important because Dashboard Development Tool, it's basically been up to me to go and do my own JavaScript and my own debugging and my own all this pain in the... To make a dashboard. Well, this toolkit has predefined things for doing stuff like countdown timers. Like, we could, whip that out in, 2 minutes.
I don't think you could do it as fast as Shane did it there.
But the idea is, here's this thing. And so, with a flip of just a checkbox, now you're making a dashboard for an iPhone and you're making a dashboard for your Mac. It's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Another question from the floor. Is that Dan?
Yes.
Dan, for another Leo Villian. Dan runs moderates a chat room for the KFI radio show. I've never met Dan. We've worked together for years. It's nice to meet you, Dan.
I guess I was wondering the illustrious panel's opinions on why Leopard was downplayed so much at the show and what Apple's got in store for it.
You know why?
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 They're keeping their powder dry. They're saying, you know what, Bill? Roll it out. Let's see what you got. Right. Show me your version.
Well, we know what Vista's. Vista isn't going to change. Vista's done. There's no. I mean, they could have released it now.
But you think so?
I think.
See, the reports from everybody.
You know, the problem
here,
is Leopard's not done.
Exactly.
That's
right.
The problem.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody.
Derek's. Go ahead. Keep talking, Merlin. Then we'll get Derek. All right.
Yeah, they didn't release it for two reasons. One, because they didn't need to. Today, right. They had plenty of other stuff to talk about.
Right.
Second, it's not ready yet. There's a lot.
That's pretty clear.
There's a lot of work to be done yet. It's going to be a terrific OS, but it's not ready yet, and they don't need to have it ready right now. There's plenty of other stuff going on.
Let me introduce this. That's Derek Story, great photographer, one of the great teachers of photography, Photoshop. You do the Aperture class with Scott Bourne,
which is awesome, by the way.
Was it a good class? Oh, did you take that, Greg?
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I hear very good things about that class.
So thing two about this non-release of Leopard and non-release of iLife was that Steve Jobs himself said we don't have to make an event like Macworld anymore to make stuff. We can release stuff all year long. Right.
And they're gonna.
And the thing is like, who cares if iLife didn't come out today? Because you know what? It's gonna come out in 3 weeks or a month, and it's a big buzz. It's like, zzz,
I think
here we
go.
We have fun stuff to go.
We're very happy, aren't we, Alex Lindsay? Because that keeps us alive for Mac Break.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna be at the.
But
we're
it's
down
one question.
A lot.
It came up a lot. We had an open thread today on 43 folders, and the one karma suck thing that came up again and again from people was, okay, I thought this was Mac World. There's a lot of people who are like kind of like the consumer.
Not iPhone world.
Exactly. Maybe they're not total geeks, but they're power users, and they were ready for updates on all of the Mac products. So,
but I think a lot of us have given up on that a lot. I don't know. I gave up on that a couple of years ago.
I don't go to Mac World. Developer conference becomes the place where the
Mac World has been a consumer event for the last few years.
If you're a pro user, you go. If you're a pro video user, you wait for NAB or CGRAPH.
I think Macworld has become the place to go for your hand-knit iPod cozy.
Yeah.
Because in the times that I've been coming to Macworld over the last... Did you guys experience this? But when
it wasn't as bad today as it has been in the past.
Last year and the year
was
before
awful.
That,
yes.
It was like unbelievable.
I think there are far fewer iPod accessories, or maybe there are far more other things on the floor today.
Leo and I spent a little bit of time today in an area that we...
Do we want to talk about that on the show?
No, we won't. We spent some time in what we call Tiny Town.
Tiny Town. We like it.
Where it's the area where all those little booths...
And
increasingly, the people you're seeing at Macworld are not the folks who are coming out there with these vertical apps. You're seeing people coming out there with like a new thing to put your iPod in, you know? So it has become this kind of consumer super world.
But we did see some keynote things today, I must say. Being a keynote guy.
Keynote the app.
Steve's presentation.
Oh, somebody said this is a new version of Keynote. All right, Craig Severson does stuff with Keynote that only the gods and Steve Jobs' assistant can do.
Keynote.
And he is just a master.
I don't think Steve Jobs' assistant can do what Craig does on
Craig's Keynote. Amazing. So you know better than anybody what Keynote can and can't do. What was new that Steve was using in his presentation?
Well, some of the cheesy transitions that you never want to use in video, like the exploding letters.
Well, he did a lot of that. Yeah.
That was new. And there was some motion movements that weren't Keynotian. But I was in the back of the room next to the producers doing all the stuff because I'm a video guy, so I sort of gravitate to them naturally.
Right.
So I was looking over and seeing preview screens. So I knew he was on Keynote because I saw it running in the back room.
That's smart.
So anyway, some Keynote stuff was
so that's Keynote 3 that he was playing with, probably.
I think so. That's my
and you know, of course, the truth is he was always a beta user of Keynote. I mean, he was using Keynote before Keynote existed.
Yeah.
So that's nothing new for Steve. Doesn't mean that there's a new Keynote ready to go.
I think it'll be in spring. I talked with the Keynote people today on the floor, and they were saying spring.
Spring.
Yeah.
So that's an iWork.
And they're all now fired. And they're all, I said they weren't necessarily Apple
their
people.
Their offices have been relocated to the San Francisco Bay.
And by the way, I'm going to play with the iPhone on Monday.
Oh.
So who's ever nicest to me maybe can come with
How
me.
Are you going
to
do that?
I have friends at Apple. Thank you very much.
Yeah. If you've ever wanted to have Scott Bourne service you in some kind of a personal way,
I've been thinking about that.
Leverage that.
I think I might.
Can we send a camera with Craig to do that? Probably not.
No.
They probably won't let you. Yeah. Shoot.
You had to ask.
Shuby, ask a question, Shuby Dooby.
I don't think anybody's pointed out that Apple knocked out like 5 different rumors in one device.
Yes.
It's a first, ladies and gentlemen.
They were their own rumor aggregator. We were thinking this. We were talking about this. It's like there was the rumors like, oh, there's going to be some kind of an Apple phone. It's like, no, there's going to be a subcompact Apple computer device.
I do love the way Steve...
No, there's going to be an easy tablet device.
It was kind of a cheat, but I love the way Steve got into this to say, we have 3 new products we want to announce today. We have a widescreen touchscreen iPod.
Yay.
We have a... And everybody goes, we have an iPhone. Of course, he should have saved that for the last. Because and then we have an internet communicator.
But it was brilliant. It was brilliant because then he did the twist, you see.
And it's all in one.
So it was the arc of the plot line there. I thought it was really good.
But that was only the second act. Do we have a third act?
And I think that one thing is that is really important of what we're looking at right now is this is pre-version one.
The
phone.
You thinking they'll turn some of those JPEGs into applications?
I hope so.
I think there's a future in that. I think there's a future in going from JPEG to applications.
I'm just saying that I don't know if any of you are involved with what they call agile programming or extreme programming, but if you could just put out JPEGs instead of actually making the app.
That's all you need to really do.
Absolutely. Your team is going to work.
I think I'm going to sell them.
It's a very lightweight way to operate. You don't have to do any kind of quote-unquote bug testing. There's no regression testing. You just got to push out a JPEG. And if that works, you release it. Release often. Your JPEGs often.
Justine's saying, please replace the iChat JPEG with an actual iChat interface so she could talk
Justine,
to her.
Justine, you are a text messaging user.
Yes,
she hasn't stopped the whole show.
Sorry. I'm trying so hard.
No, it's cute. It's fine.
Justine, are you a grazer? Do you graze?
There goes again.
Graze?
Just read the... No, read the message. What does it say?
It's actually... Twitter. I don't know if you've heard of that, but I've been getting all the Macworld updates. So.
Oh, that's not the same.
It's still text messages.
Twitter is like the away message, the Web 2.0 version of away messages.
Twitter besides stealing our copyright?
Oh my God.
Trademark infringement.
You know what? You and Ev should wrestle shirtless. I would love to see that. Twitter is a service that lets you basically do. What you would normally do with an away message in AIM as a way of saying so you can very quickly update to a web page or to a device. And luckily...
So who's sending you these Twitter things?
Twitter makes it easy for you to personality spam everybody in your life.
I don't get it.
Yeah, well, it's actually all the random people that are in Macworld right now updating. So somebody just types Macworld and then whatever they want to say, and I'll get the update.
And you get it. So you're basically getting a bunch of random messages from strangers.
I don't know. But there's actually this other website. It's called Groover. It's still in beta right now. But you check into locations. So I've been checking in that I'm at Macworld. Cool. I checked in that I'm here right now.
So like Dodgeball?
Yeah, kind of. But it's a little bit different because they're also going to be syncing this with GPS in the
future. So if I had Justine on my phone, it would say, oh, Justine's at the 21st Amendment right now?
Yes, and it's kind of creepy, actually.
Totally. Have you done Places?
In Groover?
Places.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. No.
That's totally creepy.
Oh, no.
These are all stalker apps.
Yeah, it's completely an affordance for letting people stalk you. Well, just in case you wanted to, like, watch me from afar, here's where I'm sitting right now.
Oh, that's really weird.
It's like creepyware.
Oh, I know.
Would you like to come pizzizz with me?
That's great. And all of that's through text messages, so
I was thinking you were in a deep conversation with somebody,
no.
And it's completely random messages.
It's Macworld people.
But as somebody who lives in SMS, so I'm as you know, I'm 65. I'm very...
You look great.
He looks great.
I've got a lot of health problems. You know what? I try to work out. I get up every day, I do a sit-up, and then I have a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
But as somebody who's very comfortable in the world of SMS, and the kids today apparently love the messaging.
The kids love it.
The kids.
And you don't mind the constant interruptions that drag your brain down into some kind of a dull, rounded point. But if you're comfortable with that, how do you think you're going to deal with the iPhone? Are you going to be comfortable with that when it pings you? Are you going to feel comfortable?
I like that little xylophone sound.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm just concerned about the typing because I like to be able to drive and text, but, you know.
Oh, no, you don't do that, do you?
Let's talk
because I do that too. So do you put it in the steering wheel like this and then hold the wheel like this and type?
Kind of. I don't know. It's just more I'm like... trying to do one of
you
these.
You do it like this, huh?
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
Mm,
Not yet.
I'm off the streets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just got a text from Amber
MacArthur.
Amber, Amber MacArthur. What? Yes. Question from the floor. Yes, sir. You're there.
Sir. I'm on a skein.
Here, here.
From Alberta, Canada. And I just had a question.
Scott.
Hi, how are you doing? just had a couple of questions. One is about the area of syncing with the iPhone that was demonstrated. There's a lot of going from the computer down to the phone, but the value of going up from the phone to the computer, whether or not they didn't demonstrate that, and I thought that was kind of an interesting thing they skipped over. The second thing was just in the area of iTunes content in Canada. It's like it's really limited still.
They're, they're so mean to you guys. You guys are always getting... You know, we're practically the same country, and you guys are always getting short shrift.
Exactly. And you won't get the iPhone.
I posted well, something on 43 Folders a couple weeks ago. I was like, hey, check it out. It's this really cool whiteboard. And every person from Canada who went to the site got this, your IP address is out of the range.
Oh.
And they weren't even allowed to view the site.
That's sad.
You guys, how do you handle that?
They're so
is,
nice.
Is that...
We just get cold and bitter.
So you said you thought you might be able to use the iPhone?
Well, one of the guys in the back of the room was mentioning that Rogers, which is one of our big cellular providers,
GSM.
Is partnered with AT&T and Singular already. So
maybe
that might open up the door.
I hope
you
so.
You never know. You never know when it's going to
come
up.
I hope so, for your sake.
So your question's about syncing?
My question's about syncing and about if you could, if you have any insight on the
Canadian
content.
Okay, so I have
content.
A lot of insight about syncing.
He's going to sink his trio into a glass of beer is what he's going to sink. Not you too, Justine. All right, everybody with a trio, sink it into a glass
John
of beer.
John is putting his trio into a beer to prove a point.
Well, you know, and I think
he never has a second trio at home.
It's not my trio. That's the best part.
Well, here's the thing that I think is interesting about this is that there were, like most of us, you know, when my phone dies or when I get ready to get another phone, I just get another phone. The old phone just kind of dies. You know, I just stick it in a drawer or I throw it away or I do whatever. I'm going to give it away to someone or whatever. And you don't really think much of it. It's not an event. And I have never had a day where so many people talked about throwing their phone a long distance, including myself. You know, people just hate, they have this hate relationship with their phone.
This is what I said to somebody today. It's like you came out of the Matrix today. For me, since about 1999, I have been on a series of assy phones. Each one just slightly
What's
less...
What's that adjective again?
Assy? Assy. It's an Anglo word.
You took the blue pill.
And I think as one today, again, I come back to this conversation I had with my wife where she said, I don't understand why all of you nerds are so excited about the possibility of a cell phone. And I said, you know what? This is something that we've all got to use. Some of us have actually replaced our home service with this phone. We're using this to get our email. We're using this to connect to the web. Nobody I know likes this phone.
Well, I talked about my trio. I mean, I have a trio, a Trio 650, and a lot of us do here. We were all wandering around with our trios. And we were talking to a friend. Both of us agreed that we hate our trio with a passion. We just hate every other phone more.
Right? I agree.
You know, and that's the thing.
The problem with every one of these phones, I've said this all along with Sprint, is like when you're using your phone, you're not using a unified device that's there to make your life better. You're experiencing a series of business development relationships where you move into different alcoves, you move in and out of alcoves of functionality, and in no way are they connected to each other. So on Sprint, I have to go, okay, Sprint, I'm ready to listen to that Pixie song now, and I go into the area where I listen to the Pixie song. I can't go surf the web while I'm listening to that.
No.
God forbid I want to go look at Google Maps while that's happening.
And that was frankly my fear with an iPhone, is that Apple would get sucked into that morass of relationships.
It needs a multi-finder. What we used to call just, you know, having multiple
Multi-finder.
Apps.
That's so charming.
Do you remember Multi-Finder?
I was excited about
it. So what is that? That was seven, System 5? No.
Multi-Finder.
Multi-Finder was 5 or 6.
Was that Andy Hertzfeld's? Oh, no, that was Switcher. Remember that?
Oh, Switcher was sweet. Oh.
Switcher was sweet.
Switcher was light switch before light switch.
Okay.
We have another question.
Good times. Is there another question?
Another question.
Please
speak into the microphone, sir.
I'll speak right in here.
What's your name?
Adrian.
Hello, Adrian.
Hey-o. Hey, so I know there was some issue with the name iPhone. Has anyone heard anything about that, how they got around it, or if it's still legal or anything?
We talked about it at the beginning of the show.
It's called apparently, iMoney.
It's called money.
Yeah, apparently
scratch,
Apple.
Scratch, Johnny, scratch.
Apple has the trademarks around the world. Cisco and Linksys have the trademark in the U.S. only. So they negotiated it out. And I don't know if that means that Cisco will stop using iPhone for it. It makes a Skype phone.
It sounds like they might have decided that they'll let each other play on each other's ground.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really any confusion. You're not going to go into the store and buy the Skype phone.
Well, I think the bottom line is no one's going to buy the Cisco
phone. Remember Apple Core made a deal with a young company that they never imagined would ever get into music.
Right.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Those three lawsuits later... Yeah. The Beatles are finally on iTunes. Did you love it? I mean, the subtle way that Jobs...
Is it on iTunes? I didn't catch
it. It is. Yeah, and the subtle thing that Jobs did, he not only played a Beatles song, he played a Dylan song.
Yeah.
It was very clever, just kind of saying, hey, by the way...
Yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Get by with a little help from my friends. Yes.
Okay. It was rumored that it might be an unlocked cell phone.
Yes.
What does that mean? And since I'm a T-Mobile subscriber, am I screwed?
Yes.
Yes.
You are definitely screwed. Thank you for coming tonight.
That was Kevin Rose's rumor was they were going to make both CDMA and GSM phones, and they would be unlocked.
Unlocked with two batteries.
Yeah, a little too much indignation going on there.
I got an idea how this is going to work.
Beer.
I'll tell you about the iPhone.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Unlocked just means that it's not tied to any carrier, so if it were an unlocked phone, and it would have been great if it were an unlocked GSM phone, but what you would lose out on, and I think this is very clever of Singular, I'm sure they insisted on it, is whatever integration the carrier gave you, and in this case, Singular gives you the voicemail integration, which makes it, maybe you could unlock this phone, but you wouldn't get the voicemail.
Right. Well, and I think that there's an important part of this. I guarantee that Apple really developed a partnership with the with Singular that allows them to fully take advantage of what's possible on a phone. A lot of the problem that we have.
You're right. Motorola will build features into a phone that Verizon will not enable.
Turn it off.
Yeah. And then once it's on Sprint, you get like a third of what's available.
That's very, very common.
And so everyone's hacking the phones to get what's already built into the phone. This gets back to what Merlin was talking
about. It's basically
about.
Like buying a house in some kind of deed restricted community with like, yeah, there's five bedrooms, but we really just assume you use two of them.
Right, exactly. Right. And so I think that I'm sure that Apple made the relationship with Singular is we're going to work with you. If you play nicely and you let us do whatever we want to improve the experience, we'll just keep on working with
it's
you.
It's kind of like Oz. Like you go in and you're like, you know what?
Oz.
We're
going to
take care of you. We're going to take care
of you. Jobs. The great and powerful Jobs.
We have a question.
Hey, what's
your name?
I'm Tyler.
Hello, Tyler.
Hey, so I didn't go to the keynote, but from what I got from Mac Rumors was that Google and Apple were kind of merging but not merging, so they're kind of working together.
And Jobs had man boobs. They probably didn't say that on Mac Rumors.
You had to be there.
Yeah.
But
not merging.
Yet they're using Yahoo Mail and Yahoo Search.
No, it's no merger.
There's no merger. It's a partnership. It's a relationship. And Eric Schmidt, who is on the stage, the CEO of Google, is on the Apple board. But that's been for a while. Yeah. I mean, Eric said, you know, we don't have to merge to work together. And that's what's new in this new economy. We can work together.
This does bring up an interesting question, though, because it... a lot of folks like me love Gmail, love using it. I think it's one of the best web applications out there.
It's not IMAP.
But it didn't have the IMAP. And Leo, we've talked about this before.
Yep.
And for me, if you don't have IMAP, there's no deal.
Yep.
Like, to me, I have had my ass kicked by Pop so many times, I'm never going to turn back. Now, the question is...
I wish I had that quote on a card. I've had my ass kicked by Pop.
And I'm all of a sudden, I'm Charles Bukowski, and I don't know
why. Is it a cola? Or?
Let me tell you something about email. You've never been what I've been. When I was in Da Nang, you couldn't download your email.
I've seen the best mail of my generation.
So the question is Google, who now is reportedly, rumoredly, going to up... Have you heard Google's going to be upping the...
Well, they're upping it all the time. It's 2 gigs, but it keeps going up all the time.
I actually have filled up my Gmail account.
Oh, you liar.
You can't.
I promise you. And my friend who works at Google was like, I didn't think that was possible. I'm like, I just...
Justine, how could you have more than 2 gigabytes of email?
I have no idea. I'm sorry. I just got some random text. I don't know how someone got this. It's creepy.
They have drugs for that.
Yeah. I was.
Did you just text her? Craig.
What is this?
Show me your knuckles. All right. So you've used up your Google Mail.
I did.
Is it around 3 gigs now? What is it?
I'm not sure. I actually...
How in the hell could you do that?
I don't know. I'm at 97% right now because I had to delete some things.
Are people attaching Mozart symphonies to every email for you?
I've had it for a couple years, so I mean, this I do have some bigger attachments.
She bought into that thing where you don't ever throw out email.
She's not
which
an organization.
You never throw it out.
So how big is Yahoo Mail? Does anybody know if you pay for it? What's the what is it, 2 gigs? I know it's at least 2 gigs.
Yeah, when they got all scared, they pumped it up. But I don't know, man. When they said that push IMAP thing, I was...
I think I'm going to forward my Gmail to my Yahoo account.
Yeah,
I like so that I can, you know, still use
let's all
so
let's all move to Yahoo Mail.
You can expose your personal information to two incredibly huge organizations.
That's fine, why whatever. Not? I give up.
Maybe you can send an attachment to Microsoft.
Information parity.
Hey, whatever.
Yes, sir. What's your question, sir?
What's your name?
EasySilence.com.
A love on IZ. Yay!
Well played, my friend. Well played. Well
my question is in relation to the iPhone. Has Apple brought sexy back?
Yes. Well,
it never went away, John. It never went away.
Yeah,
no.
There isn't a sexy. Maybe the Razr's kind of a sexy cell phone. Is there,
you know, the
Dolce and Gabbana. Dolce and Gabbana Razr is sexy.
It's sexy, but it's high maintenance. So
no, for the longest time, I'm
sure
you
want to
take it home.
Yeah. So Apple has brought sexy back.
It was. Good question. You know, the Razr isn't that sexy. It's bigger than a StarTAC. I know, but it's bigger than a StarTAC. So I mean, that was like the sexiest phone that ever was.
And you're bigger than a Tic Tac, but that doesn't mean. It's sexy.
Well, you know, whoever uses Tic Tacs for that.
Anyway, the answer is definitely yes. And I'll stand by what I said 42
Tell us about Uneasy Silence.
Uneasy Silence, weren't we following it this morning?
Oh, we were refreshing all morning.
We were all over your site.
All over your site.
You can still find our tears of joy streaming down the page from this morning.
Was that the best coverage? Now, actually,
that's really great coverage.
Let's talk to you guys that were stuck in the room because you didn't get to go to the keynote. You had to follow on the web. So you looked at Mac Rumors. You looked at. Did you look at Engadget?
We had Engadget, Mac Rumors. We had like six tabs.
Mac World,
Uneasy Silence,
Central,
Uneasy Silence.
Who also had Spy Mac up too?
Spy Mac. Who had the best coverage?
I think Engadget because they had a lot of. Quotes.
Yeah, I really, really like.
They're very good at that. They've done that for several years now.
With all the pictures.
Uneasy Silence was the prettiest.
Yes.
Yeah,
no question.
And I love Uneasy Silence.
It had fewer
Silence.
Typos, too, which, you know.
Were you doing the typing? Were you the guy?
I wasn't doing the typing.
My favorite part.
Actually, it wasn't pretty. Who was in the keynote reporting?
Oh.
But I'm actually reporting on uneasysilence.com/Macworld.
Great.
And I'm doing all the reporting from the expo floor.
We will absolutely go.
My favorite part, and this is the part that also my wife really enjoys, is... Okay, people are coming in. They're playing a Sheryl Crow song.
Yeah, I do that.
And this is the kind of thing where my wife goes, I just don't understand what you do for a living. So there's a guy who's typing. There's a guy in a room who's typing about the iPhone. And then somebody digs the article.
Okay, test. What was the song, the last song they played before Steve Jobs came on? Anybody? Anybody? James Brown,
Feel
good. A little tribute to the Godfather of Soul. Yeah. I think that's pretty nice.
And they played at the close as well.
I think that's class, don't you think?
Totally classy.
And
can we give
song.
It up for James Brown?
Yeah.
I'm glad they finally got Gerald Ford in the ground. I just thought that was never going to end. Didn't it seem like that was going to go on for like
3 weeks? I just want to warn you. We made some Gerald Ford jokes on Twit, and it didn't go over. It didn't go over well. So. Just a word
of
warning.
Gerald Ford, of all the presidents,
he
in
was
the last
nicest.
40 years, nicest?
Nicest.
He golfed.
He was the tallest, I believe.
Yeah. When he was young, he had great hair. He enjoyed playing football.
He was a very nice
guy. And he lived in Michigan. So, Gerald Ford, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's hear it for Gerald Ford and James Brown together at last.
Actually, without
Jimmy
Carter.
In rock and roll heaven.
Without Jimmy Carter, we wouldn't be in this pub drinking beer. So, we have to give it up to Jimmy Carter.
Wait a minute. Let me think. Why would that be?
Well, because he basically changed a whole bunch of laws that allowed for beer to be brewed.
You know what it is?
So wait a minute. You mean there was no beer before Jimmy Carter?
Homebrewing was illegal. Homebrewing was illegal prior to 1977.
Oh, so you wouldn't have a brew pub. You couldn't have a brew pub.
You couldn't have a brew pub.
It was Schlitz or nothing.
It was Schlitz or nothing.
What a lot of people don't know is that, and I'm sorry, I don't want to bore you guys because I know you enjoy the technology, but what a lot of people don't know is that in 1978, Jimmy Carter passed the 21st Amendment, which allowed pot... if I could just finish, please.
Yes, finish your joke.
It allowed a podcasting in bars.
It did. We wouldn't be here without it.
Yeah, so Jimmy
headphones
Carter.
Thanks
for public.
Thanks, Jimmy Carter.
Is there another question?
He was the original podcaster. Anybody? Yeah. Nobody has a question.
No questions, anyone?
All right, here comes somebody. Indiana Jones, ladies and gentlemen. We're really thrilled to hear you coming back on the big screen. Yeah. All right.
Hey.
Who is that?
This is Rains Cohen.
I was going to say, you look a little familiar. Rains Cohen, my God. Rains, of course, led the Berkeley Macintosh users group for many years.
And he's making the Mac more green, a little bit at a time.
What have you been up to, Rains? I haven't seen you in years. It's great to see you.
I've been going from, you know, user groups, you know, communities of practice, you know, journalism, to real-world communities, co-housing, eco-villages.
That's exciting. That's great.
Trying to help, you know, make the Mac and make everybody's expo a little greener.
B-Mug, awesome. Good job. And B-Mug was absolutely the greatest Macintosh users group ever. Really
the greatest part is we did a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, got rid of the office, the staff, the debt, the newsletter, that so-called magazine.
Remember that? That thing? That was
400
huge.
Pages.
Was that yearly?
But the community kept going on. It's people every Thursday night for every week now. After the meeting, even though there isn't a meeting, people still go out for dinner after the meeting.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. That's really neat. Rains, how many Macworlds have you been to?
Let's see, is this 21?
21.
22. I'm just counting San Francisco. I've been all but the last Boston and all but the last New York.
Wow, that's
great. Wow, that's every day of my life.
I just want to know if I can drink in Macworld now if I've been to more than 21.
Go home. That's faster bedtime.
That's really fantastic.
So what's really cool is 21 years ago, I met this man at a Macworld Expo. I was running this little tiny software company, and Rains came up and said, "Hey, what do you got?" And I gave him the demo, and you know, I was young and naive. I didn't know what I was doing, and this man covered the stuff that I was doing. And you know what? He really, really, really helped.
When I was at Mac Week.
With Mac Week, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So Magic Software, Autosave, Backmatic, Power Menus, Power Icons. It was all a fun time, and I couldn't have done it without him.
That's neat.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Again, the Mac community, it's the best community
in
the world.
Hey, listen, can I just say one thing, Leo? Can we all promise everybody in the room tonight? Can we promise that we're all going to be best friends forever?
BFF?
Yeah. That's right. BFF. You give yourselves a hand. Yeah. You magnificent bastards.
You deserve it.
So, Rains.
We should have a group hug.
A lot of people are saying, and I think you're the only one with the standing to say it for sure, that this was a very significant Macworld keynote, maybe one of the most important Macworld keynotes, certainly in a long time. Would you agree?
Well, it's significant as a show, but I mean, look at that keynote. Is it really a Macworld?
Yeah, what is it? Yeah. But for Apple, this was a very important day.
Oh, it's important for Apple. But, I mean, already the show has been becoming iPod World.
Right.
And it's, you know, it wouldn't be nice if we just had them as separate shows and in the separate halls.
You think we should eventually have plastic things in which to put your iPod World? Because I think people would show up. I think you would have a significant...
For that, totally.
I think they call it Macworld Boston.
You are correct, Craig. All right.
It's significant, but it's still the consumer culture. It's just more toys, more stuff, more things to spend money on.
Oh, you're just an old hippie now.
So Rains, if you could change one thing today, if you could say to the kids out there, the one thing that they could do to make a difference with the way they're using the Mac, the way that they're living, what would you say to them?
The one thing is just step back and take a look. There's lots of carbon calculators online. Understand what your impacts are for your electricity, for the stuff your flight to the show. Yeah, your drive, and offset that, to plant trees, do more solar and wind. That'll make a difference. We do not want Macworld to be underwater, which is going to be happening.
Oh, can I ask a follow-up, Rains? Is it true that recycling is BS? Penn Jillette says it's BS, and I want your response.
Well, that's sort of like asking Mac versus Windows, and when you throw something in the trash, does it really go away?
I know. VI versus Emacs, yeah.
Penn Jillette has 666 stenciled into his floor of his Las Vegas home. I'm not going to trust him on anything like that. Thank you, Rains. It's really great to see you. One of the great Mac pioneers and a great guy, and obviously doing his best to change the world. Living a carbon-neutral life.
Check out, starting tomorrow, greenmymac.org.
Greenmymac.org. I love it.
Nice.
All right.
Was it Rains' group, the Green? Did you green the Apple Store? Was that you guys?
That was great.
I'm not connected with Greenpeace people, the
Green
My Apple thing.
Oh, so that big whale that they delivered and then saved, that was a different group?
Save this whale.
They were just like running a green generator to run a green spotlight on the Apple logo.
That's not so good.
That's ironic.
Yeah. All right. I agree. Thank you, Rains Cohen. Any other questions before we wrap this thing up? It's almost 8 o'clock here. We have a couple more minutes.
O'clock? It feels like 12.
I know. It's been a long day.
How many of these have I had?
I don't know.
Is anyone counting?
Go ahead.
I got a quick question.
Yes, sir. Into the mic.
So,
what's your name?
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
For the first time since the 80s, I have a Mac. I have an Apple.
Yeah. First time since the 80s.
Hey, let me ask a question. How many of you guys have got an Apple? That's what I'm talking about.
What? According to the experts, what is the one app that I need to add to my Mac?
You know what?
I think that's a roundtable question.
He was going to be here. A guy named Alcor came up to me.
Alcor was at the show?
He's at the show.
He invented the internet.
Was he in his chamber?
No.
Being wheeled around?
You know what's wild? He's just a normal-looking guy. Walked up to me and said, I want to thank you for Quicksilver. I said, yeah, isn't it a great application? He said, yeah, I wrote it. I fell to my knees.
Dark-haired guy with pretty eyes? Right? That's the guy he sends out. The real Alcor is in a hyperbaric chamber being wheeled around.
My vote.
Kind of like in Dune, like when that big kind of like bus full of octopus guy comes out.
My
That's what Alcor's
vote,
like.
And I know Merlin would agree, so he's going to have to come up with another one, would be Quicksilver. Absolutely. Absolutely free. Quicksilver.blacktree.net.
Any Quicksilver users here? Anyone?
Quicksilver is the only Mac application I ever say. You have to have that on every. But go ahead, Merlin, what do you think?
Let me go last. Somebody else goes.
All right, Alex?
I need to hear Foster's opinion and Alex's opinion.
Scrivener is a really amazing little app.
Scrivener, yes.
Yeah, we love the Scrivener. Is this
hard to say, but good to use.
Yeah. Well, you know, after a couple of IPAs, it's kind of hard to say anything.
It's good beer. I'm drinking a bitter American.
Oh, the bitter American's yummy.
Are you a bitter American? Does it make you more
bitter? Thanks to
21st Amendment.
But Scrivener is one of these apps that if you spend a little bit of time with it, learn it, understand it, it will help you write better. It'll help you keep your thoughts better. And
it's kind of idea mapping, mind mapping.
Yeah, idea mapping, mind mapping, that kind of thing. And I think it's worth investing in. Eventually, it'll be a paid-for app. But use it now while it's free. And even when it comes out, it'll only be like $30-$40. Totally worth it.
Justine, do you have an application that you want to pick?
Well, actually, I was thinking about a Twitter app that I use.
Okay, Twitter's all right.
Twitter, it gives you all of the updates of exactly what's going on the web. And
so that's not just Mac. That's anything. That's any computer. Yeah. Twitter. What's it called? Is that just the name of it?
I can't think of what it's called.
But if you go to Twitter.com.
I was actually gonna Google it. But
Google it. We'll come back to you. And Kendra says, I stole hers.
Yeah, you totally stole mine. That's really the only one I can recommend.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, Alex Lindsay.
In fact, I was gonna do Quicksilver as one of my first Mac breaks, like a year before
she
you
was.
Did it.
And I'll vouch for that.
And then you did it, so.
You bastard.
I know.
See, these kinds of ideas, they don't belong to one person. It's what the Germans call a zeitgeist.
Yeah. Zeitgeist.
It's a time ghost.
We share something special, Merlin.
Time ghost. Yes.
Would you like to touch my monkey?
Something very, very special.
Alex Lindsay, your must-have.
Can I
can't
just say that whatever Alex picks, it's gonna be over
$500. It's not gonna be over
$500. No.
Alex's app is gonna be.
No, it'll be that magic 300.
Everybody busted. Everybody needs to move magic.
Okay. Somebody sent me this application, and I've been looking at it.
$299.
Okay, somebody sent it to me. Set up, and it's $700. And but it's got a jug shuttle, and the jug shuttle, $700.
I'm like, it does this most awesome key. Like, you can pull this key on, like,
between
all
the
hairs.
And so
we're watching TV, like, sitting on the couch. And
oh, come on now. $700. Come on, poor
and then there's
Alex.
These noodles that you pull around, and you keep pulling them around, and you keep moving them around, and, like, that's fun.
$700.
Come on, show them they're wrong, Alex. Show them they're wrong.
What I was going to say.
Oh, now you talk slowly.
I didn't get it.
So I had two applications that I was going to say. And I
made Alex cry.
There was two. So one was I couldn't really think about operating without Photoshop.
Photoshop.
Which if you buy a new one.
Capital P, lowercase s.
No. But the one that I use probably more than anything else, and we do a lot of uploads, we do a lot of other things, and the real one that I was going to say that you really have to have is you gotta have Panics
Transmit.
It is.
This is so pathetic. We are chanting the name of an FTP program.
Just so we're clear, no one in this room is ever getting laid.
How many people here have Transmit?
Okay. Yeah, speak for yourself, Merlin.
I'm having a moment right now.
Point taken.
Wow.
Okay, so Transmit.
That never happened.
Transmit's cheap.
Versus Interarchy.
No.
Versus Cyberduck.
Cyberduck. Cyberduck at least is free.
Cyberduck people.
But the thing is
Cyberduck people. Fight the Transmit people. Shirtless. Go.
Okay. No, but here's the thing.
Put your shirts back on. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Talk about man titties. Your areola are enormous.
So the thing about
it has nipples
though,
like pepperonis.
Frisbees. Frisbee nipples.
Merlin, you're going there again.
Transmit is good because.
Well, I mean, I keep on discovering other things that I can do. You know, I mean, I finally
have
got all my favorites.
Have you gotten into the Dachshund yet?
Well, no. I got into the Dachshund in a big way. I have this long string of my Dachshund.
But Alex hates the Dachshund.
I've gone beyond the Dachshund.
Yes, but Dachshund is a whole. So, Transmit users using Dachshund?
No, I don't use Dachshund anymore.
In Transmit, when
you create
a favorite.
You can make a little Dach icon.
So, when you create a favorite in Transmit, you have the ability to say, here is a directory path on a server somewhere, and here is a folder somewhere on my drive, and whenever I drag something from that folder onto Transmit, it understands that it should go to that server and uploads automatically. Now, I don't know, if you're like me in like 1995, you're trying to build web pages, and you're sitting there with Fetch, like uploading, drag and drop on
Fetch.
To the icon.
Isn't that sad? Whatever happened to Fetch? Poor
Fetch. Still around.
The little dog's still running.
I'm running.
I'm going to get there.
But make me cry.
It's great because we have to send some stuff to Cashfly, some stuff to Libsyn, some stuff to, and it's all these different servers.
The hack is to create multiple bookmarks for that.
Yeah.
And it will totally like send
and you just
you
drag them onto the drop. Oh, I got to send this to this. I gotta, yeah. It's great.
What,
it's really
what,
nice.
What does Transmit cost? It's like it's under 40.
It's cheap. Yeah, it's 40 bucks. It's cheap. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Everybody said it. I said an application. I started. Who didn't? Craig Severson.
I gotta say, I work.
Because I work. Keynote, but you love Keynote.
That's part of iWork.
How about Pages, though?
That's part of iWork.
You use Pages?
You like
yeah,
Pages?
Because it keeps me from having to buy a Microsoft application.
All right.
No,
all right.
Did your son show you how to use that? Your grandson?
No, thank you. I figured out I'll buy my.
They can use Pages.
Oh. And now they turn.
Oh, do you see any great?
No, they turned hours ago. I'm sorry, Merlin.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll lend you a couple break tags. It'll be fun. You can pay me back later. Anyway.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. We've done our picks.
Yeah. Thank God.
This is the longest show in history, but what we're going to do is we're going to divide it in half. So this is the second half. So we'll do the first half. We'll put that up on the net, and then we'll say for those of you who don't mind the word pepperoni nipples, you can download the second half.
That is so the name of this episode.
That's the name. Pepperoni.
So, if you're living in your parents' basement, drinking Mountain Dew, and writing your own modules for Dungeons & Dragons, this is going to be
hey,
the show
for you. Hey, I just want to point out, that's how I learned Pascal.
Oh, Jesus.
What, making more like player character sheets?
No. I had random generated dungeons. You know, from the back of
you
the
don't
Dungeon
ever
Masters.
Want to get these guys drunk, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm just telling you. It would actually, in the back of the Dungeon Master's Guide, there was a random generation of monsters, and I programmed that entire thing
you
in Pascal.
You're kidding.
No, it was
what
beautiful.
If this happened on Dignation?
1984, TI-99, 4A. We sat there for a lengthy weekend.